Judith's going to come and speak to us this morning. Let's pray as she comes and gets ready. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing here today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we worship you. Worship is song, it's scripture, it's prayer, it's declaring what you do, it's proclaiming your word. Lord, in all that, we worship you this morning. We submit to you. So we pray for Judith now, Lord. Give her your anointing and your inspiration as she shares your word with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's good, because I was basically going to pray that myself, so I don't need to do that now. I'll be praying as I speak. So it's been a long while since I've been up here sharing the message. At least 2 years, and I think it's actually more like three. So that's a long interval, but it's kind of interesting because the Lord has been percolating this word for this morning over the last 2 and 3 years. And so you might think, oh, that's not a very now word, but it actually is. And you'll see that as we go forward into the word. And I've called what I'm sharing today, Moving Forward with God. But it's not actually that. That's a little bit of a cheat, because I was a little concerned that if I gave you the real title, which is Changing with God, some of us might switch off, because probably you're a bit like me and I really intensely dislike that word change. I'm one of those people who love my old comfortable pair of walking shoes. They fit my feet perfectly. They can take me anywhere and everywhere. And I put off for as long as possible the day when I have to change the shoes, because I know that there will be days of uncomfortable walking as I have to break in the new. And I had a pair of walking shoes that lasted me, about 15 years. I had new heels put on them twice. And there came the day when there was no heel left to put a new heel on. So they had to go out. And I still haven't got quite the right pair of shoes that match up to that pair, unfortunately. So Graham and I go through the Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, and we've actually done, I think this is our third time around now, and we really like it. And it's an excellent daily reading plan, because you get either a psalm or a proverb each day, a chapter out of the New Testament, and then two or three chapters out of the Old Testament. And somehow Nikki Gumbel manages to make them all fit together, and he finds a theme. And it doesn't matter what the three are, because he just works through the Bibles in order. He always manages to hang those together. So just back in February, I was in Joshua recently, but at the end of last year, I was in Isaiah. And I love Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is so encouraging. I was reading Isaiah 43, verse I've known very, very well for a long time. But on that particular day, this verse really stuck out for me. This is what the Lord says: forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I really feel that that's what God is speaking to us, his people, right now, and telling us and showing us that he truly is doing a new thing in the earth. We can take verse 19 as a fabulous promise to us that can restore our hope when it's been smothered by the blanket of our circumstances. But change, newness, it's uncomfortable. It's so hard to go through. I don't like change. Now, some of you who know us know that Graham and I spent the whole of the winter going through a major renovation of our 1960s bungalow, and it needed it. We've lived in the house for almost 30 years. The carpet was one that was put in new when we bought it. our fridge was on its last legs, and there wasn't enough room in the old existing kitchen to put a new modern fridge without having ugly gaps and craziness all around it. And really, the house probably needed to be upgraded at least 10 years ago. But, oh, it was so overwhelming. Every time we kind of thought about, well, if we do this, then we have to do that. And if we do that, then we have to move this. And you just get to the point of overwhelm. And you know what? Status quo works for a while. But, you know, the carpet wasn't getting any better the whole time. And the fridge, I knew it was going to just fail one day. So we tossed it backwards and forwards for a long time, a lot of years. And finally, last year, we decided we've got to do something. We have to make some changes. And as we expected, it caused a major upheaval in our lives. About 1 month prior to the demolition starting, one day we suddenly realized that everything on the main floor of the house had to be removed. Everything. Things had to come off the walls even. I thought, oh, I'll leave some pictures up. Nope, that wasn't going to work. We discovered that we had to find places to store everything in our house. And it was a mad dash panic. Praise God for pods. We had one of those stuck on the driveway, and we had boxes, packing cases everywhere in our basement. It turned out that there was actually a lot more work that needed to be done than we had originally realized, because the crew that were doing the work came in and they took samples from the walls and the ceilings and the paint. And we had lots of asbestos in that house. 1960s, asbestos was the wonder material, so it was everywhere. And I mean everywhere. We had walls taken down, and then we had new walls built. So the house is really, really different from what it was back in October when we started demolition. And now, today, we're on the admittedly exciting, but some days frustrating journey of learning to live in our new space. I had a huge closet on the upstairs behind our kitchen that was the repository for just about everything that didn't have a home. And now, of course, that closet isn't there anymore. I don't have an equivalent closet. So now we have to daily ask each other, so where is such and such? Where did that get put? We'll get there. The frustration, though, I have to say, is greatly tempered by the newness of the kitchen and the newness of the space and the freshness and the cleanness that has come as a result of this renovation. And you know what? Despite all the upheaval, living in the basement for 6 months, the dust and the turmoil of the whole process, the Lord spoke to me almost daily about my heart and what he was doing through this renovation process. He kept reminding me about the work he's doing in my own heart, my heart renovation, and the renovation that I see in the lives of others that I get to pray for in my prayer ministry role. And it was so encouraging to me for God to keep speaking to me like that and about that. In our house, walls that had looked absolutely perfect and fine and totally livable on the outside, when those got torn down, wow, it was amazing how much accumulated dirt and decades of detritus that were exposed behind there. And it was horrible. Like, we've got photographs of how bad it was. And a lot of this that we could see was after the first job of asbestos abatement had been done, which had all been done behind closed, sealed up walls because of the safety issues. So, you know, we saw it 1 degree down of already being changed. Well, I can tell you that Graham and I were more than delighted to see all of this yuck being carted out the door and put into the skip. And it was quite an exciting day when just the bare frame of the house was now visible. And then the new began to be installed. We had new, clean, super efficient insulation put in between all the joists. We had brand new, shiny, clean plastic, electrical, you know, high grade electrical cables strung in the new walls. We have brand new plumbing. Wow, has plumbing ever changed in the last 60 or 70 years? And there's all these little tubes and they run and they just, they look so much better than what came out from before. And then finally, some beautifully fragranced new wood became the foundation of all the new walls. That was a lovely day. And still the Lord was speaking to me and reminding me of the layers of hurts and wounded places and general not very nice things that had been in my heart over many years. And he showed me how the Holy Spirit has been shining his light into the yuck in my life in order that it can be dealt with. In some cases, his healing touch brought wholeness and restoration to the wounds. And in other places, he just took the stuff away because I didn't need it. I didn't need to carry that baggage anymore. The moving forward and the change in our house and in my life are absolutely worth walking through the process of change. I don't think any of us actually like feeling uncomfortable. And one of the things that goes a long way to make us feel comfortable is status quo. But this is where I know the Lord is speaking to the church and to me strongly in my own life. I began to notice this urging of the Holy Spirit about change being on the horizon back in the fall of 2016. It struck some chords with me then, but I compartmentalized it, saying, well, I've heard this before over the many years of my walk with Jesus. Nothing new here, I thought. But the Lord continually has been sharing with me, speaking to me through his word, speaking to me through people I hear, sermons and teachings, that change is coming. The Lord is on the move, and he's actually cheering us all on to move with him. And then just back in April, Lauren Roth came to share with us. She shared briefly on the Sunday and then a whole lot more on Wednesday. And it's like she's talking about exactly what the Lord's been revealing to me. And I was so excited. And I thought, yes, so the next time I get to share, Lord, I know what you want me to talk about. And so I really pray that you will be encouraged and built up and, you know that the Lord truly is in all of the changes that are happening. Lauren shared that that there are many people in the world that are believers and non-believers that are sensing that things in our world are in a state of shift. She said that the Lord has been sending his Spirit ahead to show us that things are shifting. And this is really confirmed what I have to share, because the word the Lord gave me was shift as well. So I'm talking about moving, but God's talking about shifting. So what is it that's been percolating in my heart and mind for the last 3 years that I want to share with you about this morning? Well, hold on to your hats. I want to tell you all about lobsters. Lobsters are fascinating creatures, but until recently, I didn't know very much about them at all, apart from that they're very tasty to eat. However, their incredible life cycle has very many parallels to church life and growth. And I really like the way that God puts pictures into his creation for us to talk to us and reveal to us that he's got it all in his hands and all in his control. So I really think that you're going to enjoy learning about the life cycle of a lobster this morning. So the first point that's very important to know is that a lobster completely changes its shell around about 35 times over the course of its life, as long as it doesn't get caught to eat. Number two, a lobster can only grow by shedding its protective outer shell in a process that is called molting. Molting involves the lobster having to wrestle and struggle with the now useless shell until it gets to the point where it can walk out of the old covering. If the lobster doesn't get out of its old shell, it will die. There is no life for the lobster, no growth, without this struggle to move forward and to deliberately walk out of its old shell. Then the newly freed lobster eats the old shell that it's just discarded. This replenishes the vital calcium that was contained in the old covering. And a lobster is very vulnerable to predators immediately after they molt, because it takes about 24 hours for their new shell to harden up, and actually several weeks to get to be the armor plating-like covering of the old shell. A lobster will seek out quiet, rocky pools to shelter in during this time and remain very, very still so as not to bring attention to itself. So I'm hoping that in your minds, you can already begin to see where we might be going with this, but let me connect the dots. So the lobster changes its shell many times over its lifetime. And I believe that through this, the Lord is reassuring us that change is good and it's a necessary part of our church growth. We have seen over way more than just the past 2 years, a lot of changes in our congregation and how the church functions, both our church here and the church in the world. But you know what? We don't change our core beliefs or values. We remain a congregation who seeks to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and make him central to all that we do. We remain a body of believers who love the presence of Holy Spirit, want to be filled with him, led and guided by him. We remain a congregation where the Word of God, the Bible, is our source of wisdom and guidance for the way we live our lives. And we are a people who do our utmost to live in accordance with the Spirit of God and the Word of God working together to bring life. God is reminding us that in this day, change is most often God is reminding us that in this day, change is most often growth and maturity, and that growth and maturity results in fruitfulness. And we know how much value God puts on fruitfulness, because there's a lot of stories in the Bible. And a lot of times when Jesus would teach about vines and grapes and fig trees that didn't bear any fruit. Remember that one? So now, point number two, a lobster can only grow by shedding its shell. We recognize that the Lord asks us to shed our old hard shells or our old comfortable ways of thinking and doing so that we are able to move forward with him into newness and freshness of what God is doing in his world. It isn't comfortable for some of us, but it is what he is asking. And Paul encourages us in this in Philippians 3, and starting at verse 12. Not that I have already attained my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One of my all-time favorite scriptures. Such an encouragement to us. We press on forward to win the prize for which God has called us. Point three, a lobster has to wrestle to walk out of its old shell. And you know, some of us are definitely going to have to go through the wrestling, probably actually all of us, to be, you know, to be perfectly honest. I don't think anybody's going to get a free pass on this one. The promise from God is that we will walk into his newness and his refreshing. We might have to say goodbye to some long-time relationships as the Lord moves them out into their new places to worship. And we've been through that and we've seen that, and I'm sure that's going to be an ongoing part of our life and of our walk. But it's really cool because God brings in new people too, and new experiences and new life happenings and events. So the wrestling isn't easy. It's wrestling. But you know what? It's okay. And it's healthy for us to properly grieve our losses and our sadness. And we process those emotions with the assistance of Holy Spirit. And if you're stuck processing emotions, we have a fabulous prayer team at the church here who are just willing to help you walk through that at any time. And you can call me or Val and just ask for some ministry. And we would love to do that with you. A lobster that does not get out of its old shell will die. That's a hard one. There is no life for the lobster, no growth without this struggle to move forward. And that is a warning that we need to heed. There's going to be a wrestling that we have to go through to welcome and make room for all of the new and the growth that the Lord is going to bring us. And I'm not talking about growth in how many people are sitting in this room or are watching on Zoom. I'm talking about growth in our own lives, hearts and minds, and most importantly, relationship with Jesus. And you know, there might be some ruffling of feathers, to use a completely different metaphor, as we learn about each other's giftings, talents, and yes, maybe some idiosyncrasies. The Bible has a lot to say about how to walk this out, and most of it is centered around growing our hearts together in love. The whole of the Bible is God's love letter to us, his kids, and it's always, always centered on love and the love that Jesus has for us through his sacrifice on the cross. Romans 12, in the middle of it, is one instance of God talking about this, where he says, Romans, it would be Paul writing, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Have we heard this before? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. There's a sermon right there. Point five, the lobster consumes its old worn out shell. There will be some things from the old ways of doing things that will be very vital for us to take with us into the new. Prayer should be and will be a priority. Our corporate worship is what God's heart loves to hear, his people coming together to worship him. Discipleship and Bible study are vital. We have to know, I should have my Bible here, we have to know the word in order to be able to obey the word and to weigh things up, what we're hearing and what we're being told. Because, you know, our enemy, the devil, is only on our case 24/7, 365 days of the year. He's always out to trip us up and lie and get us out of God's plan. So that's why it's so important to read the Bible and know it. Meeting together for encouragement is something we need to hang on to and retain. Building up and moving forward in the kingdom of God together. Hebrews 10, this is one of Graham's most favorite passages. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 22, says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Such important words. Hold on to all the words in the Bible are so, so important. But for right now, that's one that's really, really good for us at West Ottawa. The lobster gets back its valuable calcium by eating its old shell. We, as the church, receive life and life more abundantly through the Holy Spirit, who is always with us and always ready to meet our every ask and prayer. Lobsters are vulnerable when they first walk out of their old shell. For the Church of Jesus, the time of shift or change is also a time of us being vulnerable. This is why the Holy Spirit is speaking words of encouragement that help to give us direction as we submit ourselves to him and trust him. The Lord promises us that we can shelter under the wings of the Almighty and find our safe place and rest in him as we go through the wrestling with the new. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe." And Psalm 57:1 says, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings." And such a beautiful picture of the little birds sheltering under the wings of the mother birds. I was reading the book of Joshua back in February, and I was struck anew by the story in chapter 4. The people of God were finally allowed to enter the promised land after they had had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years as a consequence of constantly disobeying the Lord's ordinances and always complaining about his plan. That part of the story can be found in Numbers chapter 14. But in Joshua chapter 4, it's now the time of change of all that the people had known for an entire generation. Crossing the River Jordan was for them crossing the line in the sand. Look, I've got a line here. The line was that when they were over that line, everything was new and different and fresh and not the same as it had been before. Change, shift. So in Joshua 4:1, when the whole nation had actually finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from where the priests were standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua, he's a good egg, Joshua, he always did what the Lord told him. He called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the Israelites." Verse 6, "The stones are to serve as a sign among you." And this is what really leapt out, like the Lord put a big highlighter in these verses for me. "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So in these few verses of Joshua, I'm reminded of the importance, vitally important, to tell our stories of where we have been to the next generation. We remember the past and we give God thanks for it. There is so much of truth and of worth and of value about the kingdom of God in all of our experiences. Nothing is wasted in His economy. At the same time, we live in the present, continually looking around to see what God is doing so that we can move with Him and join Him in that work. And then we are on the move, moving into our future and all that the Lord has and still has to do to make us His bride ready for His coming again. We pray, we listen, we plan, we grow, we step forward with the Lord, centered in His oh so great love for us. So remember the lobster and the amazing picture that God gives us through it. I think it's really cute because lobsters are kind of interesting and quirky and fun. And I'm sure as you think about their life cycle, I pray that you all will take something out from today to be encouraged, to know that the Lord is in this. He's got us and He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you do indeed put pictures all through creation that speak to us, that minister to our hearts, that show us little glimpses of your plan, your purposes, and your heart for us, your people. Lord, I pray this morning that each and every one of us will be encouraged that we are moving with you, going step by step into the future, holding your hand, Lord, and running for the shelter of your wings whenever we need to. Your presence walks with us, for which we are eternally grateful, O Lord our God. We give you all the thanks in Jesus' precious, beautiful, mighty name. Amen.